It's Iris, also known as Eyes of Iris on YWP. Thank you for joining me for this very, very special Anthology 11 edition of Line Break. Today, I am talking with six writers and artists who were published in the anthology. Thank you to Audrey, Sam, Lauren, Lily, Jaden, and Marina for talking to me about their writing and art. You guys are so talented, and I'm really glad that I was able to talk to you. Before we get started, here are a few messages from Young Writers Project. YWP wants to thank all of its donors for their support, especially the George W. Mergens Foundation for making the publication of Anthology 11 possible. The editorial team for Anthology 11 is Susan Reed, William Anderson, Anna Forsyth, and Kathy Foley. The design is by Andrea Gray, and the printing is by Alan Schulhammer and Queen City Printers. All writers and artists who are published in the anthology will receive a copy. If you would like to purchase the book, please click on the Anthology tab on the YWP site for more details. I encourage you all to buy many, many copies of the anthology to be able to keep and share with friends, family, mentors, anyone who you'd like to share your writing with. You're all so talented and amazing, and congratulations again! With that being said, here is the first interview of the episode where I talk with Audrey, also known as Amaryllis on YWP, about her poem, I Failed, which can be found on page 35 of your copy of Anthology 11.
Hi, my name is Audrey, and my username on Young Writers Project is Amaryllis. I'm gonna read my poem, I Failed. Okay, I failed. But you know what? At least I failed epically, so spectacularly that the best he could say is, at least you played the notes right. They were not in tune nor to any rhythm. Does this make me a failure? Perhaps. I don't care though, because I'm just relieved it's done. Although I suppose it was over the moment I thought, I'm doomed! When I could finally let go of the stale hopes I was holding onto so tightly until my palms were slick with liquid fear, laughing at myself in advance at the voice inside who calls me a loser, batting at the incessant fly constantly hovering by my ear, incessantly buzzing that I am not enough. I am a disappointment. But you know what? These knees have seen the ground more times than you can count, and all I can do is dust off the scrapes, red pride dripping down my leg, and carry on. Why not try to have a good time while I'm at it? It stings and it hurts to be taken down a few rungs, but isn't all medicine bitter? To be able to laugh at oneself, to truly, genuinely be merry, after, despite failure, is to say, I am proud of what I have done, despite the voices, buzzing, scrapes. One day they will be but echoes, corpses, scars. They are proof that I am not yet broken.
Hey, thank you so much. So what was your inspiration for this?
I had just finished a orchestra audition that determines what orchestra we were going to be in. And I had done terribly. So afterwards, I called all my friends up and I was like, oh my gosh, I totally failed my audition. And then I wrote this.
I can definitely relate to that. And I think that especially after 10 years of taking piano lessons and having recitals, and I get so freaked out and so afraid of failing. And then usually it goes pretty well, but I can always pick up on the one small mistake that I made. Even if the rest of it was pretty good, I'm still going to think to myself, oh my gosh, I failed because of this one tiny little thing that I did. I really liked reading this because it was a nice reminder that, I'm not broken yet. I might have failed, but I can still be proud that I did it. I think that it's good to remember that, as you say, it stings and hurts to be taken down a few rungs, but isn't all medicine bitter. I really love that line too. And what was the inspiration behind it?
My family eats a lot of Chinese medicine, and that medicine, in particular, there's no artificial, sugar or whatever. It's just bitter, herbs. So that was probably, the inspiration for that line. I think the poem came out of, instead of feeling so, down that I had not done well in my sight reading audition, I was like, it's done.
Yeah. That's nice, too, when you spent so much time sort of anticipating it and feeling like this is a big thing, and I could do well or I could not do well, and then it's over, and you're like, oh, finally all this weight is gone. Why do you think that the message of getting back up after you failed and being proud of yourself anyway is important?
I think it's important, first of all, because it's a universal thing, because everyone fails sometimes, and we have to get back up. Smiling through it is a coping mechanism to, I suppose, make it seem less bad, because I've read somewhere like that smiling, it's a way to make yourself happy. So it kind of goes both ways. Like you smile when you're happy, but smiling also makes you happy. So I think it's important that, like, even though you fail sometimes, to get back up and like make the best of things. Like you failed, but there's like always a silver lining.
Yeah, and also it's good to remember that there's probably going to be something better that comes along.
Yeah.
You know, even if you miss out on the orchestra audition or you miss one note in your piano recital, then there's always going to be something better that happens.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that's definitely important for us all to remember. Not just in high school, at any age, I think it's important. It's one of those, like, kind of timeless things that we should all think about and keep in our minds.
Well, it's like particularly high school because everything feels like, oh my gosh, this is going to change my life. Like if I don't do well on this, I won't get into college. And then, yeah. So I know like teenagers, especially like I've seen some people take failure like really badly. Like they'll think they like totally failed an audition.
High school is by far one of the most difficult times because, you know, there's so much stuff going on and then you're just like putting all this pressure on yourself and feeling a lot of pressure from everyone else to like be perfect and to have everything figured out and to like know what you're doing and stuff. And then if things don't go exactly how you plan them to go, then it's like, oh my God, this is the end of the world. Because, you know, you're like so dramatic at that time. There's just a lot of pressure that you're putting on yourself when you're like a teenager to like just kind of get everything right on your first try. And not to have to, like, learn from your mistakes. Now, this is an interesting question that I had. How has failure inspired you? Because I know that sometimes you can kind of get inspiration from the times that you failed.
Failure was actually one of the reasons I started writing. I had started, like, applying for stuff. And there was this one particular leadership opportunity that I thought I had interviewed quite well. I thought, like, maybe I was going to get it. And then in chemistry class, I got the email where it's like, oh, you did, it was really competitive, but, like, we're not accepting you. And I couldn't listen for the rest of the class because I felt kind of heartbroken. And I ended up writing during class, which, like, I don't recommend, but I needed it at the time. And that's definitely one of the ways it has inspired me.
Yeah, I think that it's good to, you know, take inspiration from things that you wouldn't normally take inspiration from. If you twist your ankle or something, or skin your elbow, or you don't get your license the first time that you take the test, even if those things really seem like they're very disappointing, you can still learn from them and take inspiration from them and get inspired to write something or paint something or just, like, do something creative with that, I guess, experience.
Yeah, I think it's like getting those emotions out because writing is such a way of like catharsis as well. So not only turning it into inspiration, but using it as a method to like get everything out, get all your frustration out. So that when like, I suppose you see other people, you don't seem as affected perhaps. It's just like a way of dealing with stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. Another question about inspiration. How has YWP inspired you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So much. Like the support I've gotten from Young Writers Project, especially in the beginning, because that's when like each comment I would be like, oh my gosh, like it was so valuable. Like it kept me going when like I thought writing, like my writing probably sucked. And it still keeps me going when sometimes I'm like, eh, this piece isn't that great. And then I'll post it and someone will say something really nice and I'll be like, oh my gosh, thanks. So, yeah, and then the prompt, like, the different challenges and the prompts, of course, like, when I'm stuck, I just go there and I'll find something. So, yeah, for sure.
That's really awesome. The feeling of someone else saying, like, oh, I really like this, or this really meant something to me, or these are the lines that I really took from it, or this just meant something to me. Having that from someone else just means so much, especially when you've kind of been getting down on yourself, like, oh, I don't like this. This metaphor isn't smart enough or whatever. So it's nice to have that. This is something else I wanted to mention, is that you're not from Vermont, which is really cool actually, because, you know, it shows that YWP isn't just limited to Vermont or New England, and it stretches beyond all of the states to include a bunch of other young writers who can still connect despite our differences like in time zones or lifestyles or whatnot. How is that sort of
affected you in a cool way?
I think at first I thought it was like really cool because like you can see on the side like where everyone's from. I'm like, wow, all these people are from Vermont. Like that's crazy. Like I've been to Vermont like a grand total of like maybe once when I crossed the border and then went back over. Because my mom's college, like the college I went to go to, is like on the border of Massachusetts. I think it's just kind of cool. Like the time difference sometimes does kind of get to me because I'm like, I'll be posting something at 2 a.m. and I'll be like, oh my god, it's 5 over there. But we still have like the same experiences because I think high school is kind of universal, like school in general.
I completely agree. And you know, most people haven't even heard of Vermont, or they're like, what's that? Is that a country? Is that somewhere in Europe? But anyway, I think it's great that you've, you know, become involved in this community, not really let the distance separate us.
Yeah, and then one other thing I find really awesome is I feel like you guys like have a lot more nature there.
So much.
Here it's just like a cement country. It's like everywhere there's cement. Like maybe my backyard is like the only like amount of trees. So the pictures you guys post are also like really cool.
So another question, how do you want to continue your writing as a career, as a hobby? And a somewhat related question, would you ever publish a novel or a collection of poetry?
Not when I'm a teenager, at least, because there's this one advice page where it's like, your poetry isn't the best right now. And maybe when you look back, like you can make it better. And I think right now, I just also don't have the time to like pick out what poetry I would want, because I love them all. They're like my kids. For writing as a career, I suppose I've been considering it, but like, I think writing as a career, it's like, it's kind of like music or cooking. Like the arts in general, they're very competitive and very hard to like get into. So I'm not sure, like I'm still kind of debating with myself over whether I would want to keep it more as like a hobby or an actual career path. Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Here's sort of a fun question. What would you title your hypothetical collection of poetry?
Oh, I don't know. It'd either be something like really poetic. Like I actually have a blog right now. It's called Late Luminescence. So maybe I'd call it that. Or I'd call it something like really weird. Like I'm so weird or like.
Back to your poem and the anthology. I think that the anthology especially is a really great way to have recognition for your work and also to just share it with more people and to feel more comfortable sharing it.
Yeah, crazy cool to like, first of all, like it's a huge honor to be in it. And yeah, I suppose it's like getting published always feels like really good. No matter how big, how small, like even entering a competition, it just feels really good. The first time I think I got published in The Voice, I ran around the house for like a good 10 minutes. I was like screaming. It means a lot.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And even after having a bunch of publications, it still feels so special to get like recognized and just to have that chance to like share my work and to read it to some people, or to have my family read it, or to have my friends read it, or to like just like buy a copy of the anthology and open it up to like whatever page I'm on and read it, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm in a book. Like yeah. It's just the craziest feeling because it seems so unattainable sometimes to like be published. So that's why you should definitely get a bunch of copies of the anthology.
I will.
Yes, and then you can sign it too. And you can sign your name on the inside. Yeah. And then you can give it to your friends and be like, oh, it's a signed copy. So, thank you so much for talking with me today about your poem in the anthology, and congratulations!
I just spoke with Audrey, also known as Amaryllis on YWP, about her poem, I Failed. Next, I'm going to talk to Sam, also known as Love Teray on YWP, about her poem, For My Dad When He Was 8, found on page 2 of Anthology 11.
My name is Samantha Aikman, and I am Love to Write on Young Writers Project, and this is For My Dad When He Was 8. Sometimes, especially on days when I wake before the sun, I cry and don't know why. I think most people do occasionally. Last week, I received a brown envelope full of old passports. I stood at the countertop and opened it with my nail. I flipped through the top few and examined my grandfather's picture, the stamps, the places he'd been, his signature on the line. And then, at the bottom of the stack, there was my father. I knew without reading the name. He had the same half smile and open eyes and way he tilted his head. And then I was crying, and I think I was happy. I remember smiling and licking a tear from the top of my lip. I couldn't stop looking at that tiny worn passport photo. I couldn't figure out how all that rain got inside my heart. Sometimes, I think when we're desperate, we see ourselves in people we love. Right then, with the envelope open on the countertop and the pages of a past memory clouded in my hands, I was someone I had never found before. And I think I liked it. I think I liked crying over a passport photo from before anyone could comprehend my existence.
Yay! Thank you so much. That was so beautiful. So what was your inspiration for this?
So I was working on a project for school that was interviewing a whole bunch of people that had been involved with my grandfather, because I was going to make a series of podcasts. And one of the things that I was looking at was some old passports that my uncle had sent us. And they had just arrived in the mail that day. I found a really old one of my dad when he was like 8. And I thought it was really cool. So I wrote a poem about it.
That's great. There are so many small details in this poem that makes it feel so realistic, like we're standing right next to you. So how did you connect this really beautiful moment to the thought of how when we're really desperate, we see ourselves in people we love, which is one of my favorite lines in this poem?
Part of it was just the podcast series I was going to make wasn't really personal. It was about what my grandfather did for work. And so I think getting these passports in the mail really opened my eyes up to the human level that I was actually working on, and seeing my dad when he was little was really touching. And so I think that a lot of those details, I realized, well, obviously I didn't really know my dad when he was that little. And so finding out those things about him and connecting it to his father was really nice and got me thinking about things on a different level.
I think it's so amazing how people can, just have a very simple observation or something very simple happens to them. They get a passport in the mail, or they go for a walk outside and see a bird or something very simple. And then it turns into such a touching and really amazing poem or photograph or work of art or something. And I think it's cool how we can get inspiration from such seemingly normal things. Something that isn't so out there and so fantastical. What message do you think that people should take away from this? And what message do you like to take away?
I think a lot of people, especially people who aren't writers, think that you have to find something amazing in life to write a poem about or write a story about. And I think it's kind of the opposite of that, finding joy or meaning in really small things that can be out of the ordinary or aren't, maybe, is really the point of writing, I guess, is to notice the things that are seemingly normal.
And how has YWP helped you shape your voice as a writer?
I've been on the Young Writers Project for a couple of years. When I first joined, I was kind of amazed that everyone was so willing to share their writing with the world. And I think it's really helped me be more comfortable sharing my writing and persevering writing, because I wasn't doing a lot of it before. And it's made me a lot more interested in it and supportive, I feel like.
That's great. And another thing that really stands out to me that I've noticed lately is that whenever I sort of feel unmotivated to write and oh, what's the point of writing another poem? Then I'm well, maybe I'll share it on YWP and someone will say that they liked it, or someone will get inspired by it, or we'll just have a cool little connection over it. And then that motivates me to continue posting and to therefore continue writing. So that's what's cool about YWP for me. And some of your photographs are also in the anthology. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how does your writing process vary from your photography process? And do you think that the creative lines are blurred? Your inspiration and as you work on the product, it's the same no matter whether it's poetry or fiction or a photograph?
I think they're similar in the way that, at least for me, I like to notice the seemingly normal things as well in photography. But it's a lot more spontaneous, I feel in photography. I don't think about the idea as much. I just kind of take the shot and then it's okay, that kind of worked out, so I'll save that one. It's a lot more in the moment and seeing things and quickly taking a shot of them.
That's awesome. What books or poems have inspired you to write, or just inspired you in general?
One of my favorite, all-time favorite books is Aristotle and Dante, Discover the Secrets of the Universe. And that one is really poetic, and I think that's probably why it's inspired me, because it has such beautiful language and stuff. But I'm also into historical books. I don't really write a lot of short stories, but if I did, I think I would write historical fiction. So some of my favorite books, historical books, are Chains, the Chains series by Laurie House Anderson.
I think that historical fiction is really interesting to write because it's so immersive as a reader, but also as a writer. When you're writing it, you really have to imagine what it'd be like to be in that time period and to like walk outside during that time and to wear clothes during that time, like all the tiny little details. So yeah. It's so cool because it's almost like you're just transporting yourself as you're writing it and also as you're reading it. And what advice would you give another writer or photographer?
I would say, even if you think that your writing isn't good enough or like you're worried about sharing it with the world and stuff, just do it, because I've had a lot of poems that I've been like, maybe I'll delete this post after I posted it, and then someone ends up commenting on it or sending me an email about it. They're like, I really like this poem, and I end up keeping it up because I get positive feedback. And so I think a lot of people don't realize, like, people really like to read other people's writing. So just do it, even if you are worried about it.
And how do you want to keep writing in your life? By continuing to write poetry and short stories, by writing scripts for movies or plays, or by writing music, or in what way?
I really want to keep writing poetry. That's the main type of writing that I enjoy. But I also, I wrote a couple short stories last year for school, and I really like those too. They were harder, but I like them. So I think trying more of those would be great.
And how does your writing process, or just like your whole, I guess, brain differ when you're writing poetry than when you're writing short stories? Because for me, I think that I'm a lot more free thinking when I'm writing poetry, and I'm not trying to think like, oh, does this sentence make sense after and before this these sentences? Whereas when you're writing short stories, it kind of all has to be logical in a way.
Yeah, I definitely feel more creative, I guess, when I'm writing poetry. Like I said, I'm more free to do what I want with the language and stuff. But I do like short stories because you follow like a plot and you can develop the characters, where more in poetry is like a vague person or character that just shows up. It's a lot more like personal, I guess.
Yeah, I think there's something a lot more personal about poetry than short stories. And I mean, short stories are often based on the author's life. I think subconsciously a lot of short stories are. But
yeah.
Poetry is definitely very personal, and there's just something about it that I think I always go back to, even when I start writing short stories or I start writing a book. Then I always get stuck at some point. But when I'm writing poetry, I find that I never get stuck because there's just no like real outline, I guess, that I have to follow. And there's no like, this is how this is going to work. This is the end of your first chapter and the start of your second chapter and stuff.
Right.
And I think that, like, the vagueness of poetry is almost what I like the most. And I think that poems come out so much more beautiful when you're not trying to make it so perfect. When you're not trying to, like, idealize everything and make it seem like it's just perfect and, like, fits into such a standard. When you're just writing from your heart and writing about something that is really meaningful to you, then it comes out much better. And is there anything that you want to say about this poem?
You were talking before about feeling confident enough to like post poems and stuff, and this was one that was pretty personal for me, and so I was worried about posting it at first. And so I'm really grateful that it's being recognized and that it's going in the anthology, which is really great.
Thank you so much for being a part of this small little interview.
Thank you.
Alright, I just spoke with Sam, also known as Love to Write, about her poem For My Dad When He Was 8. Next up is Lauren, also known as Lauren M, who I spoke to about four of her photos that are in the anthology, found on pages 6, 9, 18, and 47.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm Lauren M on The Young Writers Project, and my photos are going to be in the anthology 11.
Yay, congratulations! I think it's really interesting that we get to talk about photos for a change, because I feel like it's still similar to writing because it's a creative process that allows you to express yourself as an artist. What was your inspiration behind each photo?
It's kind of hard to explain for each one because it's a little different, but I guess for some of them, I just kind of go on walks and see what's cool and then take a picture of it. But then for some of them, they're more staged and it's just kind of like, I had this idea. Hope it works. We'll see. So that's what I did for Balance, which is of a dandelion seed with a water droplet on it. And I was like, I wonder if I can get a scene through the water droplet. I did not. I still think it looks cool. And then Snow Street, there was a woman walking down the street and covered in snow, and it looked really cool.
So what equipment do you use? And we're not going to get super technical about it, just like for a general idea of what kind of things that you use for like taking the picture and then for editing and that kind of thing.
For just taking the picture, I just use, I have a Canon camera that I took from my brother. It doesn't really matter what lens I use, I switch them. And then for editing, I use Photoshop and Lightroom.
How does it work when you're taking a picture instead of just like saying, oh, that's cool, and then snapping it?
It's kind of hard to explain because it's different every time. If I'm going like on a photo walk and I'm just going to take pictures of what I see, I just take a bunch of them. But if I do see something that I think is really cool, I'll probably try and branch out on that specific thing more. There's not really a whole lot of structure to it.
What about the editing process? Like, do you like to make certain colors stand out more than others? Or I don't have a lot of experience editing photos, but I think that I generally like mine to have more of an orange tone. Do you think that yours has like a certain color tone to it?
I typically go for more blues and like a yellowy blue contrast situation, but it really depends on what I'm trying to express in each picture. It depends on like the vibe, I guess.
Mm-hmm. How do you stay motivated to continue working on a photo if you aren't completely happy with it or if there are roadblocks along the way?
If I'm trying to, like, if I really want a picture to work out, I think just thinking about how best to get there and having a bit of a plan before I go at it, that really helps because I don't like to just kind of mess around until it looks good.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about how, like, they just go into Photoshop and mess around, and they're like, well, how?
Yeah, you can't really go into Photoshop and mess around, because you have to know what you're doing, because you could be trying to move something and then erase everything.
How did you first become interested in photography?
I went to a darkroom photography camp when I was probably 8, and it kind of went from there.
Is that where you, like, dip the pictures into the color or developer and then hang it up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
it's
cool.
Film photography.
I know nothing about it, but I've always been interested in that process of like having to put a certain amount of things on it to make the picture come through. Could you talk more about that process?
It's very confusing and very easily messed up. When I first did it, they didn't let us do a lot of the chemical things because we were 8, but they let us actually developed the paper. So they just kind of said, here are cameras, this is a shutter button, hope you get good photos. And then, you know, we just developed what we thought was okay. And most of them were pure white or pure black.
Wow, it's so cool because I feel like that's almost like a lost art in a way. Because now we're so used to just using like iPhones and stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely overlooked, and it's so cool because I like it because it doesn't have pixels, and so there is a little bit of a limit, but there's no limit for how crisp it can be.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Oh, that's so cool. So what draws you to photography instead of like painting or any other art form?
Well, terrible painting. I can't get the shapes right, and it's you know, it's fun. I'm more interested in photography, I think, because I can, like, see it before it's finished, and then when I see it, I can change it without ruining it, and it's always, like, fixable if I'm trying to stage a photo, because if I change one thing, I can always put it back.
Yeah, the undo button.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. So, you write as well, and occasionally post writing in YWP. Do you think that you're writing process is sort of a parallel to your process for taking photos? This is kind of a stretch, I know, but like you take inspiration from the same sources or your style is edgy or something like that?
Well, some of my stories are based on the photos that I've taken. But if I take a photo and I think, like, that woman in the background, she has a story, then I might write it. I think that's the only relationship between the two, for me at least.
That's really cool that you can, like, see someone or a thing and then, like, make a story from it. Do you think that that gives you more inspiration than writing prompts?
I really like writing prompts a lot. I'm not sure if it gives me more inspiration. It might, though, because I can actually see the person. I don't know the exact situation that they're in, but in the moment of the picture, I can see where they are and what's happening. And if I can put that into the story, it kind of helps connect everything.
I've noticed that you do use a lot of, like, water and other elements in your photography. And does that add another layer of, I guess, trickiness to try and get it to, like, look exactly how you want it to?
Yes. I love, like, water droplet photography and everything regarding, like, shooting through water droplets after it's rained or anything like that. And, like, without the water droplets, you know, it's a picture of a flower. But it's a lot harder to get it where I want it, even though, like, the photo of the flower will be, it's a pretty flower. But it's just, it's worth it. It's worth the extra layer of trickiness.
Mm-hmm. Where would you like to take your photography? As a career, as a hobby, as just a side passion? It's a big, big question.
It's a big question, yeah. I would definitely like to expand it. I'd like to try portrait photography at some point, but I'm not sure how far I'd like to go.
Yeah, I think that it's okay to not know exactly where you want to go, and it's perfectly fine to not have everything figured out. And don't, like, totally push yourself to have it figured out. Anyone. I mean, whether you're into photography or writing or sports or making lemonade, don't push yourself to have everything figured out so that you can, like, write out a 10-year plan or whatever.
Yeah.
Because then you're just putting yourself into a box and then you're not allowing yourself to expand and evolve as you naturally would. So, one last question. What advice do you have for someone who's just starting out as a photographer or someone who would like to broaden their skills?
I would say don't take photos from the way you initially see them. You can take the photo and it's going to be a nice photo, but, like, lay on your stomach in the grass if you have to. You know, just find a different perspective. It'll be so much cooler because, you know, most people don't lay on their stomachs in the grass and look at the flowers from that angle. But if you do, it'd be really cool.
I think that's a good thing to remember, too, just in general in life. Like, don't have the same perspective as everyone else. You know, lie on your stomach in the grass if that means that you can get a new perspective and a new view on the world around you.
Yeah, totally. Also, you don't need fancy equipment or anything to take good photos. You just need to know how yours works. Like, use your phone. It can take wonderful photos. You just have to understand what you're going for. Mm-hmm. You don't actually have to, but it's helpful.
Yeah, I think that's important too, because some people think that in order to do something you need to have, like, really super duper expensive equipment, all the best lighting and tripods and all these other things. But I mean, at the end of the day, the best pictures are the ones taken with just, like, not expensive cameras and phones and just simple things that you probably already have.
Yeah, because there's a lot of really expensive gear that people, like, swear by when you could recreate the same thing with a piece of paper. Like, I was trying to take a picture of some bubbles, and the, like, tutorial I watched to get some inspiration, it was like, and you must have a softbox. You must have this $200 softbox that will be very, very essential for this photo. And I was like, so a piece of paper? And it's the exact same thing.
Oh my gosh. See, I feel like that's the thing that kind of bothers me about certain art forms, is that people tell you in tutorials or, like, instructors, like, you need to have this specific thing, when you can recreate it using, like, a marker or a piece of paper or, like, something super duper simple. And I think it just goes to show that you don't have to have, like, top quality expensive gear to like make art.
No, absolutely not. You just use whatever you have and it's just as good. It's even better.
So there's the lesson of the day. All right. Thank you so much for talking with me about your photography process and all things photography-like.
That was Lauren, also known as Lauren M, talking with me about four of her photos. Next up is Lily, who is dog poet on YWP, talking with me about her poem, I Can't Write in a Box, found on page 24 of the anthology.
Hi, I'm Lily. I'm also a dog poet, and this is my poem, I Can't Write in a Box. I can't write in a box. Not the big cardboard one waiting to leave with our recycling. Not the small ornate golden tea box in an antique shop somewhere or other. And not the cold metal safe that could travel and appear in every bank at once. Not any box. I can't write in a box. Some boxes my words would overflow, spilling over the edges and scrambling across the floor. Some they would feel too small. In some they would cluster about in each other, making tight clumps and little knots. They would feel judged and looked at by too many molecules of box. Flammable boxes will not work. My words could be like balls of fire, and frozen ice boxes and refrigerators are too cold and unwelcoming. My letters want to spin themselves into jeweled crowns and beautiful rainbows. My words could weave together and apart, making shimmering curtains of light, or they're just too plain and ordinary, or they have too much fight. So please, not a box. I can't write in a box.
Thank you. That's so great. So what was your inspiration behind this poem?
Honestly, there are just like so many times at school or just in other situations where there's like a very specific prompt for writing. And sometimes that's just a really hard place for me to be in. And I could have trouble just like thinking of something to write about.
I think it's a really important message to not force your writing or like just your whole self in particular to fit into a certain mold or box. And
yeah,
sometimes as like a writer and as a human being, it feels like we have to write a very specific way, or we have to write in this style or to this prompt or et cetera, et cetera, in this perfect little box instead of being ourselves and original to like how we would actually write and think. So I think it's a very fitting poem. And I love all the descriptions and imagery and the way that you describe the different boxes and the words, so beautiful. Like the small, ornate golden tea box in an antique shop somewhere or other. I just love that part so much because I could totally picture this like gorgeous little golden box, but your words wouldn't be able to fit into it.
Yeah, I actually think that was based on a box that I had in my house. I don't know where it is now, but I just remember I have a very specific image of that box. Yeah,
I think it's so cool too how like when you're reading someone's poem you can see little bits like that where it's like, oh, maybe this writer has a box that looks just like that, or they've seen one when they've been shopping before. So it's so cool, there's like little tiny hints, I guess. Mm-hmm. And some boxes my words would overflow, spilling out the edges and scrambling across the floor. And some they would cluster about each other, making tight clumps and little knots. I love this too how like it depends on the box too and the prompt and like the way that you're supposed to write, or like you might have too many words and too much to say, or you might not have enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are just like so many different situations, like you said, that could happen in, and sometimes just like none are quite the right fit for someone or for their writing.
And another part that I really like is this whole stanza of, my letters want to spin themselves into jeweled crowns and beautiful rainbows. My words can weave together and apart, making shimmering curtains of light. Or they're just too plain and ordinary. Or they have too much fight. And I like how you describe the letters in like such a varied way, where they could be beautiful and they could weave together and make these like shimmering curtains of light, and they can be so picturesque. Or they can just be super plain. Not special in the way that other people want them to be, but they're still special to you.
I feel like sometimes when you're writing something, it's like means a lot to you, or you kind of understand it, I guess, in the way that you wrote it. But sometimes other people, when they read it, like they won't have exactly the same interpretation. Language in general is like so varied, like it could be so many different things that I just kind of wanted to portray that.
So where do you usually get inspiration for writing?
Well, I used to actually, I feel like, write more from things that I imagined or things that I'd read in books. But like, as I have started writing more, I think I pull it more from things that are going on in my own life, which I feel like makes it almost more authentic because I have like felt the experience, so I can describe it better and like put it into words better.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I think it's cool too to see how your sources of inspiration evolve over time. Like,
yeah,
when you grow up and when you like have new experiences and such. And how do you want to keep writing in your life as a career, as a hobby, etc.?
Well, I've really always liked writing. I think I don't really remember before I started liking writing. I do remember when I was like very young, we did like a little poetry unit in school and I was so excited to do that. And yeah, I mean, I definitely am considering writing as a career. I think that would be really cool. But I also just like doing it for fun.
And as you say, I don't think you should try to force your writing into a box, you know? It could just be however you need it to be in the future, you know?
Yeah.
If you need it as a career, great. If you need it as a hobby, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whatever works for you. So, another question. Would you ever create a collection of poetry? And what would it be called?
Well, actually, my sister and I, over the summer break, we got really bored, so we decided to make a little poetry collection together.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Summer. So yeah, that was fun. It was really fun to collaborate with her. But I think if I was ever to make like a collection of my own poetry, I don't know, I think I would have to write a lot of new stuff for it, because my poems, I don't, like, off the top of my head, I can't really think of any connecting theme. But I do actually end up writing about the wind a lot. I'm not quite sure why, but I don't know, it's something that in nature, I guess I just connect to. So maybe something to do with that.
Very cool. I've thought about this a lot. I definitely want to make a collection of poetry in the future, but I thought about the title a lot and I'm just not sure. I feel like I've said this before. It'd be something weird that only I would ever think of.
Yeah.
So, off the top of my head, cereal boxes in the ocean. Something like that.
I like that. I feel like that would like kind of intrigue me and make me want to read it. Yeah.
So, what draws you to writing instead of another art form like painting or drawing, etc.?
Whenever I've tried to do something else, like painting or drawing, for example, I don't end up as happy with my work as when I write. I think it's just, it makes me happy and I don't feel like I have to be as meticulous about it.
That's great. And what would you say are like the main books from previous years that have sort of shaped you as a writer, which is a huge question, I know.
Yes. I have, a lot of the time when I read a series, I, after the end, always end up wanting more. And I'm, like, so sad that it's the last book. And I will just, like, make up what I think, what I want to happen in the next book. So I have tried to write a lot of fan fiction. None of it has really gotten anywhere. I've, like, started a lot of pieces and, like, never finished. A lot of the time I will, like, try to write in the style that the author has already written so that it feels, like, connected to the other books. I've done that with the Penderwick series by Jean Birdsall, which I really, really like. Well, I've done it with Harry Potter, and yeah, those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head. And then other books that have inspired me that I haven't necessarily written anything connected to. I had to read a book for school reading this year, and I chose to read The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo, and I loved that. It was really great. It's written in poetry, which I really liked. I think her books are really great. Also,
today, congratulations on being in the anthology. Much applause. That was Lily, also known as Dog Poet, talking with me about her poem, I Can't Write in the Box. Next is Jaden, also known as Troublemaker on YWP, talking with me about her poem, My Father's Daisy Apron, found on page 51 of the anthology.
Hi, my name is Jaden. My username is Troublemaker, and the title of my piece is called My Father's Daisy Apron. I had no idea. None. Who would? But quarantine made things different, bizarre, in at least one way amazing. Did you know my dad can cook? I did not. My sister did not. I don't think he knew either. How could he have known his talent for cooking? He used to work nonstop. My father would leave early, come home late, and never, ever have time to cook dinner. But then in an instant, he was back in our arms, constantly, working from home for only a few hours. Then he would put on the daisy-covered apron, stare intently at the YouTube cooking video, and he would be in the kitchen for hours, chatting with coworkers, with us, and somehow producing wonderful chicken, rice, and vegetable dishes, which we never knew could have come from our small kitchen. How did you do that? We would ask in amazement, savoring every bite. And he'd excitedly tell us about his newest discovery in barbecue, fried, or sautéed techniques. So, in a small way, I'm thankful for this time we had, for my family to discover another amazing part of themselves and share these wonderful moments. Otherwise, we never would have witnessed my dad's cooking skills, and I will always treasure my hardworking father in a daisy apron, spoon in hand, smiling from ear to ear as we taste his newest discoveries and rave about its amazingness.
Yay, thank you so much. So, what was your inspiration for this?
Our school closed in like March 15th, and then my dad's job closed down, so we were all working from home, and it was a bit hectic. And then one night, he was like, oh, you know, Ma, you know, take a break, I'll cook dinner. And he made some, like, seafood salad dish thing. We're like, oh my goodness, he's trying to cook, that's hilarious, we'll get pizza. And then it came out, like, really good, and we're like, oh my gosh, like, where did you get this from? He was like, I don't know, just YouTube video, you know? And one of our family things is that we'll, like, go out to restaurants on the weekends, and so because we couldn't do this, he was like, oh, I'll just bring the restaurant to you guys with this, you know, these dishes. And yeah, that was the inspiration for it.
That's so cool. I love how quarantine or just like any sort of extreme circumstance can bring people together. And like, you think that you know your family members so well, and then suddenly you discover this like hidden talent that they have. And you're like, oh my gosh, I never knew about it. And like, you never would have figured it out had life just been going normally. You know, if you mm-hmm. hadn't had that sort of change, and everything would just be how it was before. So how has quarantine affected your writing and inspired you?
Because I was stuck in the house all the time, and also just like the outside world just seemed to like be coming closer to, you know, my life, I think my writing got a bit darker. Like, it wasn't as like whimsical as I usually write. But I mean, I think I found a different voice in it, so it kind of developed in that sort of way. I feel like I appreciate my friends and my family a lot more, even because like they're so far away at this point. But at the same time, like, we always regularly check in on each other, and we'll have like Zoom meetings and stuff, and just like find ways to be with each other. So in that way, it's inspired me that, like, you know, I feel like we can get through this, and in a way we got closer together.
Yeah, and it's interesting for me too, because I feel like on social media or whatnot, everyone's talking about like, oh my gosh, I'm going crazy with my family, I can't believe that we're stuck in this place together, blah, 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 blah. But for me, it's actually been nice to be able to all be together for like eating dinner together and talking and feeling like we're more connected and not like we're all just so busy with our individual lives. So it's been really nice to do that, and also to just like find out things about each other like that. Like, your dad can cook and he's really good at it.
Who knew?
Yeah, I know. So I think it's cool that we can have an opportunity. I like how this poem is conversational. When you say, did you know my dad can cook? I did not. My sister did not. I don't think he knew either. And then my dad would leave early, come home late, and never ever have time to cook. And then in an instant, he was back in our arms. When everything shut down, it was so quick. It was like everything was done. And a second, everyone was suddenly here. And I think you captured that well with like just having everyone back at home so quickly. Do you think that that affected sort of how you write and create too? Suddenly having like not as many things going on and not as many places to go?
Yeah, I definitely feel like my head's a bit clearer now that, I mean, after school finished and everything, I had no summer camps or anything. I was just home like, oh, I can write like a whole, you know, like paragraphs and not be disturbed by people. And so in that way, it was really great because, yeah, I wasn't like preoccupied with other activities. You know, I had more me time, I guess. And so that was really great.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Have you discovered any new interesting talents of yours during quarantine?
Yes, I am a talented procrastinator, I figured out, to an unhealthy degree. Aside from that, I've been working more on music, in like producing it and I guess kind of recording music. Because before I never had time, because recording music takes such a large amount of people and a lot of effort and a lot of hours. And so I finally had that time, so I started to discover different music platforms that I could either perform on or write music on. So in that way, I made a lot of interesting pieces of music.
That's really cool. Have you shared any on YWP yet?
I have. It's called Aquarius.
Oh my gosh. Is that your zodiac sign?
Yes.
That's mine too. It's interesting because I feel like every Aquarius that I meet is like just like me. And I'm not one of those people who's like really into astrology and zodiac signs and obsessed with like my rising sun and moon. But like, it's just kind of interesting to see how our personalities are so similar.
They are similar.
So that's really cool. Have you found that your family inspires a lot of your writing with like interactions that you have or experiences together?
I guess they do. Yeah. My mom's a very humorous kind of person. She finds a joke in just about everything. So I think I kind of developed some of that style in my writing. And then, you know, my dad cooks now, and so that became a poem. Also, I like writing poems for him. So I think a lot of inspiration comes just from what poems he would enjoy.
So yes. Where else do you get inspiration?
Lately, I've been loving like the solar system. I don't know why, but like stars and the moon and the sun have been very much just in my head lately. Maybe because I write at night a lot and I see the moon like out my window as I'm jotting down thoughts. So that's where a large inspiration comes from. And then also just a bunch of small things. You know, sometimes I'll sit at my desk and be like, let me write a poem about my desk and see where that goes. It's fun just to challenge myself in that way.
That's really awesome. So the social distancing journal, you came up with that idea. How was the idea born and how has it been a part of your writing during quarantine and just in general?
I really didn't think much of the idea when I posted that comment in Tiny Writes. You know, they were talking about like inanimate objects and talking to cats and things. I just thought that was so funny. I was like, oh my goodness, we should just compile all of our ideas into, you know, one sort of big journal that we can all look back at after this is over and be like, wow, this was our life for, you know, however many months. And so I posted that comment and it was like 1 a.m. So I was a little delirious probably. And then the next day, I think Susan was like, hey, this is a really great idea. Do you mind if we, you know, take it and turn it into something? I was like, yeah, go for it. I mean, that wasn't really my, you know, I didn't think anything of it at the time, but yeah, that's amazing. I'd love to hear everyone else's, you know, hardships and joys during quarantine.
That's awesome. I loved going onto the site and just seeing what people have done that day because it seems so random and so just relatable. So it was cool to see that and to just like kind of have, because we were talking about this in a podcast episode before, about the idea of YWP as a virtual notebook. I think that the social distancing journal was definitely like that where, I mean, it still is like that, where you have like a virtual notebook of all these things that have happened during this time. So another question, how do you want to keep writing in your life as a career, as a hobby, etc.?
I mean, in thinking about my future and going to college, I'm always looking for some sort of creative writing program because I want it to be part of my life. I don't know how much exactly because I don't want to turn it into a sort of chore where I need to write and I like force it out, but I really want to continue writing. I'm so glad I found it. I'm so glad I found YWP in general.
I can definitely agree with that 100%. Congratulations on being in the anthology. I think it's just so great to be able to have a physical copy of your writing because I think it's important to not just feel like it's, you know, a couple of words written in Times New Roman on the screen, you know? It's important to have like a physical version of it where you can like open up the page and see your writing and really get that like feeling of, oh my gosh, I did this. Like I wrote this, I published it, here it is. I think that that's definitely a good reason to get a copy of it. So
I will.
Thank you so much for recording this with me. Congratulations. Celebrate.
I have to try maple syrup ice cream.
Oh, really? Like a maple, not like a maple creamy, right?
I don't know. Everyone's talking about it on Tiny Writes.
Oh, really?
Maple ice cream.
Is it like a maple creamy?
I guess so.
Oh my gosh.
I've never heard of maple anything.
Have you ever had a maple creamy? Cream?
No.
Oh my gosh, you're missing out. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. They're so good. Man, okay, we're sending you a virtual maple creamy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was Jaden, also known as Troublemaker, talking with me about her poem, My Father's Daisy Apron. Last, but definitely not least, is Marina, aka Marina 2020, who spoke with me about her short story, Books and Coffee, found on page 28.
My name is Marina Sprague. My username on Young Writers Project is Marina 2020. I wrote the short story, Books and Coffee. A single college student sits with her legs crossed, typing tentatively on her computer. The small coffee shop table is just big enough to hold her laptop, two open notebooks, and a brown ceramic coffee mug. The chair across her lies vacant, just the way it always has been. Sylvia, the owner of this 24-hour cafe, walks leisurely to her only customer. She doesn't even bother asking Aria if she wants more coffee. She just pours some into her mug. Aria looks up for a moment to see the clock on the far wall strike 9 p.m. Scanning the room, she realizes for the first time that she's the only one there. Aria glances out the window to her left into the city street. The snow is falling gently and sticking to the ground. Her eyes scan over the area across the desolate road. The few street lamps illuminate the night just enough for Aria to make out some of the nearby businesses. She smiles, looking at Leon's Library, a place she ventures often. Then she sees Take Note Music Store and mentally takes note to go there sometime soon. Her line of sight diminishes as the snow falls more heavily. Sylvia hums to the soft music, drawing Aria's attention back inside the warm cafe. Shrugging her jacket off, Aria feels more comfortable with just her gray tank top and black leggings. With a sigh, Aria goes back to typing an assignment for her writing class.
Yay! Thank you so much! Now this is a very special piece because it's the only short story in the anthology. And I think it's so cool that we can have a variety of different writing forms in the anthology. And like, there can be poems and photographs and a really cool short story. So what was your inspiration for this?
Well, it started out as just a writing piece for one of my classes. I had to think of a random scene and just put as much detail into a short paragraph as possible. And I ended up really liking it and wanting to turn it into a short story.
That's really great. Yeah, that's something that I noticed was how much detail there is and how like well-developed the setting is and how you can definitely picture the warm cafe with like the music in the background and your mug of coffee and the snow falling outside. So did you have a certain place in mind or was this just completely imagined?
This was completely imagined, but it's a place that I've imagined a lot. It's very much like my ideal setting. And so I just drew it from like where I wish I could go.
Yeah, I love writing in coffee shops. It's so cool. How does your writing process work? And does it vary when you write short stories than when you write poems?
I am definitely a poet. I sometimes venture into short stories when like I have like a really crazy idea or something I really love and want to invest a lot of time into. But my poems, they come all out at once. Like I can spend a good 5 to 10 minutes and then get a really good poem out. But with short stories, they take me weeks and a lot of thinking. So the processes are very different.
And how do you get inspiration for short stories?
A lot of them start out with small prompts or like a small conversation with someone and just thinking of what character I want to build and like how I want to set up a first scene. That's usually where my short stories come from.
Yeah, that's great. How did you get into writing and how did you sort of discover your voice as a writer?
It started with reading. Like, I love to read, and I never thought I'd be able to write as well. But then in middle school, there was this writing assignment where we had to write 10 poems on our own. And I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? And then I just started writing and picking topics. And I loved those 10 first poems that I ever wrote. And I'm like, okay, maybe I could do this more often. And I started putting more emotion into it. And it just kind of went from there.
Yeah, I think that it's so great when, like, you have an assignment for school that really excites you instead of just like, oh gosh, another math equation, but something that really like inspires you and keeps you motivated to have like writing throughout your life. And you have another piece in the anthology about YWP and the concept of it as a second home, which I thought was really touching. How has that idea of Young Writers Project as a second home helped and supported your writing?
It's a very, very good community to be in, and I almost wasn't. I was, one of my high school English teachers recommended I put it in it because I had a writing piece that she loved, and she's like, I know this could be in one of the newspapers, because we read the newspapers every week of the Young Writers Project, and I was always interested in doing that, and I'm like, I don't really know how to do it or if I should. And after that encouragement, I became a part of Young Writers Project and just started putting in all of my poems and just responding to the prompts. And this community has really just like enveloped me and made me like want to further my writing and never give up on it. And I've met so many cool people.
That's amazing. I'm so glad. I can definitely second that. I've met so many awesome people through the podcast and through workshops and just through like commenting on other people's stuff. And it's so cool how we can all like bond despite our differences and connect through writing. It's cool because I think if I hadn't gotten into poetry right when I started at Young Writers Project and those two hadn't been at the same time, that I probably wouldn't be as into writing as I am now. So that's cool to see how like every little piece fits together somehow. So how do you want to keep writing in your life? Through a career, as a hobby?
So I want to keep it as definitely a hobby because it's a very good way for me to manage like my anxiety and my emotions. So I write a lot just to like get the emotions out. But I've also recently set this goal of I want to publish a book of my own poetry. And I've just been trying to figure out ways to do that and working on my writing so I can do that eventually. Like that's one of my far off goals that I want to do.
That's amazing. How have you been pursuing that? And do you have any advice to people who are also thinking about it?
I don't really know how I'm going to do it. I'm just continuing to better my writing and trying different techniques, trying to think about like what poems I'm going to eventually want to put in it. Because I have some of my favorites that I'm like, this is definitely going to go in it. So I'm like saving those off for later, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll find a way.
That's great. I'm so glad that you can have a goal and really be passionate about getting it and achieving that goal. I've been wanting to publish a book of poetry for a while too, so maybe we'll end up publishing ours at the same time.
That would be great.
That would be really awesome. Do you find that some of your poems are more meaningful to you than others, or some of your short stories?
Yeah, some of them just come out of nowhere, and I'll read them back to myself like a month or so later and be like, wow, that even hits me. Like, it depends on like where I'm at in the world, and a lot of them have to deal with like raw emotions and either anxiety or like my outlook on the world right now. And like a lot of them revolve around hope that I like.
I think that my poetry definitely surprises me at times too, that like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I actually really like this. And that's just one of the best feelings too. It's almost better than falling in love because it's like, I love this thing that I created and I don't feel like I should have done it better. How did you first get into writing?
Well, it started a lot with reading. Like I love books, I love stories. I wasn't sure I'd be able to write all that much because like I didn't like writing essays. Once I realized that there didn't really have to be formats for certain things, I was like, okay, I'll just put my words on the page and then eventually it'll just make something. And I just ended up enjoying it.
I think that's the best advice too, to tell any writers to just get words on the page, even if like you look back on it later and think that it's really not the best thing ever. then at least like you've done some writing and you've gotten some of your voice out there. Do you find that prompts help you instead of just like starting from nothing?
Prompts help a lot. Like I'll go on the Young Writers Project page and just read everything. And if like a couple words jump out at me or one of the challenges jump out at me, I'm like, oh, I have a couple lines I could write from that. Let's see where I go from there. They're just really helpful when I have absolutely no idea what to do. I also go on Pinterest a lot and find a lot of prompts off there. And they're always weird and interesting, and I love them.
Oh, that's great. How has Tiny Writes inspired you or made you feel loved by the YWP community?
I love the Tiny Writes so much. I tend to think of a lot of weird things throughout the day, and I'll be like, oh, that'd be a good Tiny Write. And so I'll put it, and I'll get responses, and I like responding to other people's Tiny Writes, because we all have the weirdest thoughts and things that just pop up, and it's the perfect place to just put those crazy ideas and thoughts. We bounce off of each other a lot. Like, there are certain, like, trends, kind of, that happened in the thread of Tiny Writes. Like, I know one that's happening right now is everyone's sharing weird things about, like, what they found in their notebooks. And I think it's so cool to see the weirdest things come out.
I've definitely found some weird things in my notebook. Thank you so much for recording with me. And I'm so glad that we get to talk a little bit about your short story and about writing and YWP. And congratulations on being in the anthology.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yes, of course. All right, that was Marina, also known as Marina 2020 in YWP, who spoke with me about her short story, Books and Coffee. This brings us to the end of the anthology edition of Line Break. Thank you all so much for talking with me and for listening and continuing to support YWP and Line Break. I'm so grateful that I was able to share this anthology 11 with you all, even though we can't be in person this year. Congratulations again to everyone who's published in the anthology, and stay tuned for episode 22 of Line Break. Bye!